What's up, Facebook? I am Chris Manning, your editor at FearTheStore.com, here on Saturday, January 6th, to chat with you about Isaiah Thomas, who will make his first start of the season tonight. Derrick Rose, who is reportedly nearing his comeback, as he says he's not running without pain and will now start to get into practicing more with the team. Talk about Amon Shumpert, who is probably getting closer to return based on when we know he had a surgery and what the Cavs' timeline for him is, and anything else you want to ask. This is about you, the Facebook liker here on Fear the Sword. You can ask questions. You can give... What's up, man? You can talk all about anything Cavs you want to ask about. We are here to do that on this chat. In the future, we're going to do these every week. So if you want to submit questions ahead of time, you can tweet them to @FearTheSore, @LockedOnCavs, the podcast, which this will go up on as a podcast, or you can email them to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. There will also be a post up on Reddit, r/ClevelandCavs, if you want to hear. You have a chance to put those questions in ahead of time. But there's a lot going on with the Cavs right now. They play the Orlando Magic tonight at 7 p.m. That is a game the Cavs should heavily be favored in. They're playing an Orlando team that had a really good start to the year, has faded a little bit since, and is a pretty good landing spot for Isaiah Thomas's first start of the season. It is not Isaiah playing the Chicago Bulls or someone of that low of caliber, but it is Isaiah going against a team that it's not as if he's playing against Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum as a starter right off the bat. It's not as if he's playing Curry or Kyrie or John Wall, someone that is in the upper echelon like that. Those challenges are coming. This month is a loaded month for the Cavs. He'll see Russell Westbrook. He'll see Stephen Curry, who has played really well since coming back from injury. He'll see James Harden and Chris Paul as a duo to start February. So the challenges are certainly coming for IT, but right now, this is a very good spot for him as he starts back. And even next week, he's going to get Jeff Teague, who's a solid point guard on Monday, and then he's going to see Kyle Lowry, one of the best point guards in the East over the last few years, on Thursday against a very good Raptors team. So the Orlando Magic with Elfrid Payton and their group of guys and DJ Augustine, this is a good, I think, starting point for Isaiah Thomas. We're going to start with a question we got submitted via email from Terry Rokimore, who asked, When are Derrick Rose and Amon Shumpert coming back? And when at full strength, do you think the Cavs can beat the Warriors? The first one is the easier one to answer right now. I think Derrick Rose is coming back soon. If you go to FearTheSword.com right now, he says we have a story up that says Rose could return onto the Cavs' current road trip. Now, this is a pretty short road trip. They come back home next week, or the week of the 18th, that right after they play the Golden State Warriors and the Magic at home in the same week. Not next week, but the week after. And this is what Tyronn Lue had to say about Derrick Rose returning. He said, "I think D-Wade on a lot of back-to-backs has been tough for him. Some games where he doesn't feel great, but we don't really have the extra ball handler to hit him. So when D-Rose gets back, he'll definitely help with that. With D-Wade getting his rest and being able to feel good on the floor, that's what they're going for." Rose is going to play soon. We don't know exactly when. I don't think it'll be tonight. That'd be a bit of a shock. But sometime on this road trip, you have two games next week and then you come home. And there are games beyond that where he could come back as well. And they should be cautious. And this is a guy with a long injury history. This is someone that has a history of breaking down, and he hasn't finished an NBA season in quite a long time fully healthy. And it's really just a matter of time. You have to think of when he might get hurt again. But I would expect him back soon. Now, Lou's comments, I think, are particularly interesting because he's talking about him not as throwing him back on the rotation full stop, but he's talking about him as someone to help Dwayne Wade get rest. And Wade is someone the Cavs are going to value much more in the postseason than they're going to value Derrick Rose. If you're looking at what Derrick Rose could bring, I think he's going to help Dwayne Wade get some nights off. They have played back-to-backs a couple times in the next month, for example, and Wade's probably going to start resting those. And I think that's where Rose's value is going to be with this team. I think based on his early returns and his early numbers, the averaging more turnovers and assists, all of that stuff, I don't think he's been a particularly good fit for this team, but I think he can come in and maybe do that, and that's a good value for him. With this group, if he can stay healthy. But I think he's coming back soon. As for Amon Shumpert, he is a little over a month away from the surgery he had on December 1st. They said a 6 to 8 week, but more like the full 8 week returns timetable for him. He's getting closer. That would put him back early February. Maybe the Rockets game on February 3rd is somewhere around where he's going to return, but we're a little bit more ways from him on Schumpertal. He's been at the queue walking around, which is normal after a meniscus surgery, but it seems like he's going through workouts as well. And maybe he'll be closer on that six-week timeline, but 2 months early February seems most likely for Schump. Hassani Brar, who I mispronounced your name, I apologize. He asks, is there a chance to acquire a better center like Jordan, Gasol, etc.? I think there is, and this is one of the other big stories with the Cavs right now. We're about a month away from the NBA trade deadline. That'll be the last real chance for the Cavs to make any significant changes to their roster. I expect this team to be active in the buyout market, active, if any, on 10-day contracts to maybe give some guys some nights off, maybe using London Perantes and John Holland once he comes back from his shoulder injury to give guys nights off and to help this veteran roster be in its best possible position come the end of the season. The center thing is interesting because I don't necessarily know if center is the place I would want to build out the roster. I think if you look at what this Cavs team has, they have Kevin Love, who I think is having his best season as a Cavalier and is really causing problems for other teams when he's playing at center. So are you going to get him and then put him back to power forward where he's going to maybe have to defend shorter, quicker guys and guys that can maybe manipulate him more in space? That's a legitimate concern for a team that is already bad at defense. Jordan maybe if you look at these two specific guys that are mentioned, DeAndre Jordan from the Clippers, Marcus Saul from the Grizzlies, DeAndre Jordan might not be available. The Clippers have shown a lot of fight and have really pushed back after that really bad start to the season. He could be a free agent this summer, so maybe its price tag's lower and maybe the Clippers have a falling apart over the next month and then maybe he becomes available. But if you look at him otherwise, maybe he's not available. Marcus Saul is the one that I think most Cavs fans get very excited about. He's one of the best centers in the league. When he's been engaged, he can hit threes, he can defend, he's a great passer. He checks off all these boxes, and you could see him being really valuable right away and adding another dimension, more than DeAndre in a different way as well. The question you have is he has a history of injuries. He's broken down before. He's got a lot of money on his contract, and he's a little bit older. If you're looking at acquiring him, you know, what are you giving up that's going to be make you feel comfortable about acquiring a player that's going to be 33 at the end of the month, that is going to be making a lot of money for the next few years? That's a legitimate concern, I would argue. With Gasol as well, you know, how does he best fit with this team? Is him and Kevin Love going to work? That's a big gamble to do. You know, how did him and LeBron work? You know, does he help spacing and stuff? That's just a very complicated question, I think. It also depends on what you're willing to give up. Are the Cavs willing to put that Nets pick, which isn't necessarily what they thought it was going to be on the table? They have other picks. They have their own pick. They have some young guys. I don't think they trade Jetty Osman, but maybe they trade Ante Zizic. But right now, that Nets pick, that was something they hoped to be a top three pick, to get a Luka Doncic, to get a Michael Porter, a Marvin Bagley. That's now has the ninth best odds of being number one, just a 1.4% chance of being number one overall, and a 5% chance of being being a top three pick per tankathon.com, which tracks all this stuff on a nightly basis. So is that next pick that valuable? Could it get you Gasol? Could it get you DeAndre? And you're probably trading Tristan Thompson as well. So I think it's possible. I think it's complicated. There's been no indication that they're necessarily going to go down that route yet. So that's a fair question. Sean S. Kohler writes, Gasol and Love are like the same guy. They're not at all the same player. Marc Gasol is a much better defender. He was a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. He is legitimately a good defender. Kevin Love is not a good defender. Gasol can defend pick and rolls. He can protect the rim. Kevin Love is none of those things. Kevin Love is also a more proven and consistent floor spacer if you're looking at someone stretching the floor from the five spot. They're both white guys. They both can shoot threes, and they're both big and kind of slow. They're not really similar otherwise. If the Cavs got Marc Gasol, they'd be getting something they haven't had ever, really, in the second LeBron era. They haven't had that traditional center who does that. Tristan Thompson is an undersized center. Marc Gasol is a legitimate five in a old school sense who has a modern game and has evolved his game in really modern ways to space the floor, to pass, to defend very smartly. And I think you can certainly maximize him with the Cavs. And it'd be really interesting to see if they did double down at that position, whether that's with Gasol, whether that's with DeAndre, in place of a Tristan Thompson, and they did something like that, it'd be really interesting to see how that helped them against the Warriors, because you could certainly make the argument that they could use another wing. J.R. Smith's not having a great season. I wouldn't bank a lot on him on Shumpert. Derrick Rose is Derrick Rose. Kyle Korver is really, really good and has had a great season, but he didn't play one of the finals last year. Jay Crowder has been a bit inconsistent, although maybe Isaiah Thomas's return helps him. Jeff Green has been great, but like, what is, you know, are teams going to ignore Jeff Green right in the playoffs when they know that they're comfortable letting him shoot three, something he isn't doing very well? It's the one thing he hasn't really done well for this team. Could they use another wing and find someone that could defend and hit threes and give them more wing depth? Is that something that would help them more than a big guy? I would say that it's worth at least thinking about. And yes, like, LeBron's going to play 40 plus minutes a night in the playoffs, and that means there's less minutes for everybody in that little group, especially Jay Crowder and Jeff Green. So maybe do you need another guy? And unless it's someone that's the perfect guy, maybe not. But I think it's a complicated thing. But I would say this Cavs team, even this is a different regime. This is the Kobe Altman regime, not the David Griffin regime. I'd be a little surprised if they did make a move come the trade deadline. It's just not really in this team's DNA. They have some assets they need to use. They have some assets like their own pick that I don't necessarily believe they're fully tied to keeping on. I think that Nets pick is still their crown jewel. But I could see in this, we haven't heard reporting on this. I don't have any information on this to kind of add, but speculating, I think if you look at what that Nets pick is as a late lottery pick and not a top three lottery pick, history shows that having that late lottery pick is a much less valuable thing when it comes to potentially getting someone that is your franchise player. You can get a Klay Thompson, you could get a Kawhi Leonard at 15, but that's a one in a million thing. When you get top three, you have a much better chance of getting that guy. And it just history shows out that that's how this works. Nine is still good. And if LeBron does leave, that's still someone you could draft and put in your young core with Osman and Ante Zizic and maybe Lando Perantes. They feel he can be something as well, and they sign him to a real contract next year. And maybe they decide to, you know, keep Kevin Love, re-sign Isaiah Thomas to like a three-year deal, and just build that way with young guys around those two and trying to make the playoffs in the East. Maybe that's what they do. But the number one pick, if that's not on the table, really like likely on Lee on the table with the Nets pick, maybe that makes them more likely to dangle that in a deal and go out and chase the right player. Camden Smith asks, what about trying to acquire Boogie? I don't know why the Pelicans would do this right now. If you look at what New Orleans is going through and what it's trying to do this season, they're currently not out of it, right? Like, this isn't a team that is completely by any stretch of the imagination. Their whole goal this year is to make the playoffs and sell with the Marcus Cousins. Right now, they're the eighth seed, and they have a two-game lead on the Clippers, a four-game lead on the Jazz, and if you go past the Jazz into the Phoenix, Dallas, Sacramento, Memphis, Lakers territory, they should feel pretty good about that. And the Clippers have injury concerns. The Jazz, you know, is their offense going to be good enough? Is Rudy Gobert going to come back and make a big impact? The Pelicans should feel, I think, okay roughly about where they're at. And they're also in striking distance of the Nuggets and the Portland Trail Blazers right now for 6 and 7 in the Western Conference. So I don't think that is likely. I would be pretty surprised if that were to happen. K. Arkoru asks, Paul George in free agency. It's possible, you know, LeBron could recruit him and why not? But I think if you think about what Paul George is kind of looking at, what the Thunder are going to do, they're going to be able to offer him more money. LeBron could certainly recruit him, and it gets complicated money wise then with Paul George, but it's possible. And if LeBron recruits him and says, I'm staying here, come here. We know he already did that this summer. There's a reporting that shows LeBron did try to recruit him on a long-term future here. It's worth thinking about. Hassan Al-Bur asked, IT back in the starting lineup. Yes, IT is starting tonight. We'll make his first start. They haven't said the exact minute restriction. Exactly what that's going to be yet. It'll be more than 19. That's all we really know at this point. Maybe somewhere in the 24 range sounds about right for Isaiah. But he's going to start tonight, and I think this will be your first real look at what he is going to provide in terms of as a starter, in terms of as someone who is going to and how he fits in, and when does Lou sub him out? When does he come back in? And when, what lineup is he playing with? We saw him do a lot of really good work with Wade in the bench mob against the Blazers. Does Lou go back to that and sub him out accordingly to kind of make that work and start the second quarter off with Isaiah Wade and that bench mob? That has been a really big key to the Cavs' success this year. A couple of things here. Camden responded. You got to look at if they don't make it, he's leaving no matter what, and I feel like he will end up in Washington. Yeah, but if you're the Pelicans, why do you just punt on that? And he's an expiring contract. So what are teams actually going to be willing to give you? Are you going to, why would the Cavs give up the next pick for an expiring guy who has a history? There's so many things about that that don't necessarily add up to the Pelicans making a ton of sense to trade. And they have to, I think, go for it. If you're them, you put all your eggs in your basket. I think you just go for it. And I think if you're the Cavs, you have trepidation about maybe acquiring a guy like that. And then Sean S. Core writes, George more likely to recruit LeBron. No, LeBron James is the shaper of free agencies. He is going to be everyone's prize next summer. He's going to be what Durant was 2 years ago. He's that domino that's going to set things in motion. If he decides to go to LA, and let's just say that's what he does. If he goes to LA, LeBron is going to be able to bring guys with him. That's just how this works. That's what he did with Kevin Love. Kevin Love came to Cleveland because LeBron wanted him here and recruited him. That's a fact. If you look at Miami, he teamed up with those guys and was able to bring that together in Miami. Where LeBron goes, guys will go because he, even at 33, with all the minutes he's played, is your ticket to competing. And if I think LeBron recruits, LeBron does not get recruited at this point in his career. That's crazy. Adam Ulusev writes, trading JR would help. Trading JR Smith, I don't think is likely. If you look at what his contract is, right now JR Smith is making, I think, $10 million. I'm checking that right now. But you're looking at a guy that has had some issues, has not played really with all that well. Last year I think you could excuse with the injuries and what's going on with his family, but this is a guy making $13.76 million this year. He goes up to $14.72 next year, and then partially only a $3.8 million guarantee on his 2019-20 salary of $15.68 million. So that's a hard contract to trade in this environment where cap space is going to be really tight next summer, where teams don't necessarily have the money, and he's not exactly playing that well to if you wanted to offload him. And I think if you're looking at his history, the Cavs are going to hope that he rebounds. This is someone who has played really big for this team before. You can certainly offset his minutes with Kyle Korver, with Isaiah Thomas will help with that as well, and Wade helps with that as well. And you're right, JR is, he's not shooting like he did in 2015-16 when he shot 40% from three and 41.5% from overall. This year he's at 39% overall, 36% from three, a little bit better than last year. Not quite where he was. Lower volume as well. He's only taking 5.1 shots a game this year, down from 5.1 threes per game this year, down from 6.6 the last 2 years, and then 7.3 with the Cavs in 2014-15 when he got acquired from the Knicks. So keep an eye on JR. He's someone that you continue to hope he does better, and his defense will matter as well. But it's worth keeping an eye on. And the last thing we'll say here is Hassan Albir writes, Kyle Korver should be in the first unit. J.R. Smith should be bench or back in six-man position. I think you just keep what you have right now. I think Korver coming in with the bench when he does has been really, really effective, and you don't mess with that. That Cavs bench unit is one of the biggest stories of this team because it's not something they've had since LeBron James came back. If you look at what this team has had since LeBron came back, they have really cratered when LeBron goes off the floor. You can look at all the numbers. They will tell you that. With this year, they have succeeded with LeBron on the bench. Kyle Korver has been a big part of that. The messing up with the rotation in that way, to me, seems like something you don't want to do. I think you keep riding it. I think you keep seeing what works. You tinker with Isaiah now, and maybe that results in something. But I think what you have right now with the framework of what you have makes a lot of sense. That's what I would keep going with. And I think JR, too, if you have Isaiah in a vacuum, JR gives you more defensive versatility. Something that K.O. Kuru just wrote on there. You look at what JR can do, you can put him on point guards and be more comfortable with it than you would be with Kyle Korver. And that allows you to hide Isaiah somewhere. It's what the Celtics did, it's what the Cavs will do. And don't be surprised if that's something you see. And that's another reason to keep JR in the starting lineup, makes him a good fit next to Isaiah. That's why Mon Chumbert might see some more minutes when he comes back too. And I think that's where he has more value than a Derrick Rose. So thank you guys for chatting with us. We're going to do this every week. Just like the page, get notifications, and we'll be here. You can find this in audio form on the Locked On Cavs podcast feed. You can find that on iTunes, Stitcher, soon to be on Spotify as well, which is really exciting. And thank you guys for listening. Submit questions to @ForTheSword, @LockedOnCavs, or to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com. I'm Chris Manning. Find me on Twitter @CWMWrights. Have a great Saturday and enjoy tonight's Cavs Magic game.